This is Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News with Libby Collins.
Ooh, it's a rainy, rainy Sunday morning. Well, thank heaven, Greg, that we finally got some rain, because it's been 2 months, I think, that it seems like all I do is water the lawn, the shrubs, and everything else around the house.
Yeah, the crispiness, right? It just we don't like the crispiness of the lawn at this time of the year. This is usually the time of year you get that little bit of dew on the lawn in the morning, and it's an indication that some of that, you know, ground sort of water is going to help keep your lawn green. That hasn't even really happened so much yet. So it's a welcome sight. I know there's some top soccer tournaments and whatever happening outside that might be compromised, but certainly could use the rain. Maybe make it a lazy Sunday morning.
Well, I know you mentioned soccer tournaments because one of your daughters does play soccer. And you are like a girl dad, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Two daughters, one in fourth grade, one in second grade.
So this time of the year, have you started doing the Halloween decorations yet?
So there is a push in the Matzik household to have this done. My wife and I, sometimes I have to govern my wife as well. I'm okay for fall decorations at this point, but we don't need to go to Halloween until we get to October. Does that make sense?
Well, I don't know, because a lot of people are getting into the Halloween spirit. And, you know, it's that time of year. America's favorite horror films are coming back to the theater, and nobody knows horror better than Ryan Turek. He is the Vice President of Feature Film Development for Blumhouse. And Ryan, I think a lot of people are excited because this isn't going to just be one film, one night only. You've got a series of films over the next couple of weeks that are going to be right here in Milwaukee at AMC Theaters, starting with a film that I know a lot of people are obsessed about, and that's Paranormal Activity.
Yeah. We're very excited. Paranormal Activity is celebrating its 15th anniversary this year. Can you believe that?
I can't.
So crazy. Yeah. It's so crazy.
Yeah, and the amazing thing is you're doing just one night only re-release on exactly 15 years after the film first showed.
Yeah, and it kicks off Wednesday, September 25th. And as you mentioned, that is just one of six movies that are going to be rolling out from the 25th to October 30th, followed by like Lights Out and Insidious Chapter 2 and Happy Death Day, Black Phone, and Five Nights at Freddy's. We're very excited because these are all fan favorites of ours. It gives everybody who's a fan of Blumhouse and a fan of scary movies the opportunity to either revisit these in theaters or see them for the first time in theaters surrounded by like-minded horror fans.
Let's talk a little bit about Paranormal Activity. What makes that film so popular?
That movie, I think, really connected with audiences because it was just so grounded. It felt like it could happen to you, even though it delves into supernatural and goes into very outlandish supernatural heights. It's one of those movies that really plays on the things that go bump in the night. And I think everybody can connect to that, whether you're sleeping in bed or falling asleep on the couch watching a movie. You hear the door creak, you hear someone walking around the kitchen. I think that just gives everybody goosebumps. And I think Paranormal Activity just did that really well by kind of playing in that found footage medium, playing it as these people could be your neighbors. They could be right next door, and kind of playing through security footage. I think everybody connected with that, and it's just made it very terrifying.
Well, AMC's Blumfest going on. It's for 2024, of course. Five more films in the series. And is there anything else that fans can expect if they come to one of these screenings?
Yeah, absolutely. There'll be all sorts of surprises at each of these screenings. There'll be special messages from the talent involved in the film. You'll get messages from Jason Blum. You know, you can also sign up for special giveaway to get an event poster. I'm sure, you know, there'll also be special sneak previews. It's going to be a Halloween event. It's going to be a lot of fun.
So if we want to learn more, find out exactly where around Milwaukee these films are going to be shown, where do we go?
Yeah, go to amctheaters.com, go to their events page. There's a splashy Blumfest page on there, and that'll break down our discounted tickets and also provide you details on what the where the closest AMC theater is near you that's playing this.
And Ryan, I'm going to ask you, any sneak peeks at films that are maybe not released yet but we should be watching for?
Yeah, possibly. I mean, we just dropped a Wolfman teaser trailer recently, so you never know. Never know what you're going to get.
Ryan Turek, Vice President of Feature Film Development for Blumhouse. It is a pleasure to have you here.
Oh, thanks for having me on. I love talking scary movies with you.
It is a short show today. We've got Green Bay Game Day getting underway at 9 o'clock, but we've got a lot we're going to get in this hour. We've got a new iPhone that was released on Friday, and we're going to tell you what you need to know. Teddy Nichol from the Milwaukee Business Journal is going to break down who made the most money from the RNC. We've got a consumer expert who's warning about a fake PayPal invoice. Greg Matzik is here in the newsroom. Nate's here pushing buttons, and we're going to talk Brewers and Packers with Greg in just 2 minutes right here on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. It is 8:13 and we have 67 degrees on WTMJ. We've got Greg Matzik here and he is talking sports. And yesterday the Brewers lost, I should say.
They've not won since they clinched the division on Wednesday. So maybe a little bit of a hangover effect, literally and figuratively, perhaps, after a celebration night. But yeah, just two hits and a 5-0 loss last night to the Diamondbacks. And the Diamondbacks are a team that they're fighting for every win possible because they've not yet locked up a playoff berth. In fact, they're fighting to be a wild card team. They were a wild card team last year. If you remember, they came to Milwaukee. They beat the Brewers in that little wild card series at American Family Field, ending the Brewers' season. So the Brewers won in Arizona, winning that series last weekend, but they tend to struggle with the Diamondbacks for whatever reason.
What does this tell you in terms of postseason?
Nothing really. I don't think the trajectory of what the Brewers can do in the postseason changes. I think Pat Murphy has wanted to rest some players after locking up the division, which I think makes a lot of sense. And now you're talking about a 4-game deficit behind the Phillies and Dodgers with 7 games to play. To be one of those top 2 seeds and not have to play in that wild card series, the benefit of the wild card series is that all of those games would be played in Milwaukee. It's just a short 3-game series, but you don't have to travel anywhere. So that is the one benefit. It does lengthen your path to the World Series, which I guess is the negative. But you get those games at home.
So here's a question, and I'm just wondering if, because you know everybody. Greg, you know everybody in sports in this town. Has anybody reached out to Craig Counsell? And the reason I ask is, can you imagine how he must have felt when it was because the Cubs lost that the Brewers automatically went into postseason?
Yeah, kind of funny how that works, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right? So it was on that Wednesday, right? So the Chicago Cubs played a day game. They played against the Oakland A's and ended up losing it. And the A's are one of the worst teams in baseball, and the Cubs ended up dropping 2 of those 3 games. So before the Brewers even took the field on that Wednesday night against the Phillies, they had locked up the division. They knew they were going to be NL Central Division champs. And Counsell was asked about it after the game. And he said, look, we got a lot of room to make up here. Like, the Brewers are the class of the division. This is 2 years in a row. The gap is wide. So he had a very honest take. And I'm sure some Cubs fans were frustrated to hear it. Cubs played better baseball in September, but still nowhere near what the Brewers did collectively all season long.
But you know him, right? You know Craig?
Sure.
Yeah. How do you think he really feels at this point, because he left Milwaukee on his own volition? He could have stayed here as long as he wanted, but to see the Brewers continue to win and the Cubs not so much.
Yeah, I think Craig, if nothing else, he's a competitor. He wants to win, right? So whether he's managing in Milwaukee, managing in Chicago, he wants to win. And his team didn't win enough to be a postseason team. They were officially limited last night, but that was just a mathematical 1% chance that they had of being a playoff team. They are officially out. You're talking about a team that finished with, I guess, 7 games to play, you know, barely above 500, hovering around 500. And when you have an expanded payroll and one of the best managers in baseball, the expectations are much higher. And the Brewers, if you haven't known it by now, are the best run organization in the division. And that's clear. This is a golden era of Brewers baseball. You want them to see them to make a bigger dent in the postseason. That's a hurdle they need to clear. But this is nothing new now, the Brewers winning the division.
It's an exciting time for baseball, especially in this city. Greg, we're so happy you're here this morning, because next time I'm going to ask you about the Packers and what your predictions are. Today it is 8:19, 67 degrees. It is raining out there, and we're going to give you your full forecast right after this. It's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. It is raining this morning. We've got widespread showers, isolated storms. There's downpours possible. We're getting a lot of thunder and lightning even. We'll get up to about 72 degrees. And tonight that rain will finally begin to taper off. It'll clear up and it's going to be breezy down to 55. Tomorrow definitely cooler under partly cloudy skies, 68 for a high. Tuesday, we've got another chance of some showers under mostly cloudy skies, 68 for a high. Wednesday, we get the sun back, and it'll be 72 degrees. We are getting a lot of rain around the area right now. In Port Washington, at 67 degrees. Oak Creek, 68. You're getting some thunder and lightning. Same thing in Brookfield. We're at 68, and it is 68 degrees at 823 on WTMJ. It's time to check in with Teddy Nykel from the Milwaukee Business Journal. And boy, I think we're still having a lot of impact from that RNC, Teddy, that we had such great expectations for the last couple of years. But there's a new report from the host committee that says that there are some local businesses that got a lot more money from the convention from others. What did you learn?
Yeah, you know, this is really the first kind of report we've seen since the convention that's really breaking down how much money the host committee raised, where they raised it from, and where it went. So the biggest local company that received money from the host committee was the Milwaukee Bucks, not surprisingly, because they hosted the main convention at Fiserv Forum. So they received $5.8 million from the host committee. In total, the host committee raised almost $92 million, and two-thirds of that came from local donors. About a third of that was spent locally, although some of the money that wasn't spent locally was actually kind of trickled down. So, for example, some of the main contractors was a New Jersey events production company. They were paid almost $15 million, but they hired a lot of local subcontractors. So some of that money actually did end up going locally. The same was true of a transportation company from Maryland that then hired local bus companies from Southeast Wisconsin. So really interesting to kind of see some of the breakdown. Aside from Deer District, the Wisconsin Center was paid about $4.5 million. Magic Productions, which is a Waukesha event company that hosted the welcome party at the Summerfest grounds, they brought in around $1.8 million. Saz's Catering, a local catering company, almost $1 million. A local law firm, Michael Best, they brought in almost $1 million in legal expenses from the host committee. Some apartments, like the Ascent Apartments, for example, in downtown Milwaukee, they got about $600,000 for hosting a lot of the RNC host committee staff in their apartments. So really a wide range of companies that saw a benefit, and it's really interesting to see the breakdown.
Do you think in reviewing that this will excite local businesses to reach out to try to get more events like the RNC?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. There was definitely some disappointment at first from some companies that felt like they didn't get as much impact as they were maybe promised or thought they would see. And I do think this kind of shows examples of the types of businesses that were able to benefit and, you know, proves there was a lot of impact locally. So maybe just kind of give some, you know, another side of the coin for, you know, while not every company got the benefits that they were hoping for, others did. And so maybe, yeah, for future conventions, maybe data like this could be helpful for other businesses looking to get a piece of the action.
Do you like coffee? Are you a coffee drinker?
I do like coffee, yeah.
So do I. And you know, our teammates, Jeff Sherman and Jasmine Snell, every weekday, they give a little report on where they got coffee. But I think they're going to be excited to know that there's a new coffee shop coming to Red Arrow Park.
Exactly. And not only a new coffee shop, but a new coffee brand that Milwaukee really hasn't seen yet. So Big B Coffee is the franchisee that's opening in the vacant cafe space in Red Arrow Park. People know this. It's near the Marcus Center and the St. Kate, you know, that little park that has the ice skating rink. It used to be a Starbucks there. Starbucks left last year, and the county, which actually owns that park, chose Big B to be the new coffee operator. So they are already under construction on kind of transforming that cafe space to kind of fit the Big B brand. And they are hoping to open this November around Thanksgiving, just in time for the ice skating season. Actually, interestingly, the Milwaukee Bucks recently started a small business program to kind of help support local small businesses. The franchisees of this Big B Coffee are local Milwaukee entrepreneurs, and they're part of a new Bucks small business program that's going to be kind of helping promote this coffee shop within Fiserv Forum and through other opportunities with the Bucks. So that's an interesting aspect to this as well.
You know, coffee tastes different depending on where you get. Have you tried any of theirs yet?
I haven't. You know, I mean, maybe once in another city, because they have locations in other states. They're in 13 different states. They do have other locations in Wisconsin, but they're in Franklin, and then they're opening one in Cudahy next year. So I have not been to one. Have you?
No, I haven't. That's why I was curious how their coffee differs from some of the others. But we'll find out soon enough.
We'll find out soon, yeah.
Teddy, not a week goes by that we don't talk about new apartments. Mm-hmm. And this week is not going to be any different because Spring Mall in Greenfield, it's turning into apartments when it used to be a shopping center. This is a real trend, isn't it?
Yeah, I have to say, I cover real estate and apartments, so, you know, that's part of why you hear a lot about this from me. But, you know, you're not wrong. It's a trend. It's happening a lot because there really is a shortage of housing. And, you know, just with retail trends changing, a lot of suburban shopping centers are not doing as well. You know, like Spring Mall and Greenfield, which we're talking about today, is mostly vacant. So there's a lot of efforts to redevelop these vacant shopping malls with apartments, kind of like Bayshore and Glendale, kind of reinvigorate them. So anyway, with Greenfield, Spring Mall, Mandel Group, which is a major apartment developer, they're planning 257 apartments. It's an interesting layout where it's going to be a lot of green space in the middle with a pool, a clubhouse. And so they are looking to purchase the land from the city of Greenfield. The city actually owns this shopping center that they purchased in order to help redevelop it. And construction could start next year. But if we have any fans of Meyer Restaurant, which is the one commercial business that's still operating in that shopping center, Meyer Family Restaurant, don't worry, that plans to stay. So it'll be the apartments plus that restaurant, and that will continue to operate.
Well, I'm sure the residents will appreciate that because it's always convenient to have a place nearby, isn't it?
Right.
All right. Well, finally, talking about things that are being changed and converting, the owners of a major downtown Milwaukee office building, they're looking at plans to convert it. Well, what's on the table?
Yeah, so everyone, I think, knows the BMO Tower, that beautiful new glass tower in downtown Milwaukee near City Hall. This is right next to that, right south. And actually, the developers who built BMO had to buy this old office tower as part of the deal. And so they've owned it since they kind of worked on that new BMO tower. And now they're trying to figure out what to do with it. They've been trying, and they're continuing to try. You know, it was up for sale. This is Ergens, which is another local real estate company. It was up for sale. They are still exploring selling it. They're also exploring redeveloping it. And they're kind of thinking of more of a mixed use potentially option for this. So there could be some apartments, there could be some offices. They're also looking at hospitality, potentially retail. So they said, you know, office, all of those options are still on the table. Interestingly, though, this is right near the 100 East building, which is also an office building that's going to be converted fully into apartments. So again, this is another trend. We just talked about kind of suburban shopping centers being converted into apartments. And it's also a national trend for downtown offices that aren't being used as much to also be converted either into apartments or other uses. So that's kind of the next one. This is a former M&I building, as it's known, on North Water Street. So we'll be watching that one as well.
Well, I know you will stay on top of it, and you'll keep us informed. Teddy Nykl from the Milwaukee Business Journal. It is great to have you here.
Great to talk to you, Libby. Thank you.
Well, it's a rainy Sunday morning, and let's go to the WTMJ Breaking News Center with Greg Batsick at 8:32.
Yeah, thanks, so Libby. Yeah, it's coming down here. It hasn't come down for a little while. Had a couple of sprinkles last night. It's turned out to be an event here today as the rain continues to fall. It's going to hang out here until likely into the late afternoon hours here. So some claps of thunder, a little bit of lightning, some occasional downpours. Going to be a wet Sunday here in southeastern Wisconsin. Meanwhile, Milwaukee police are investigating a fatal pedestrian crash that occurred late Saturday near midnight at the 7300 block of North 76th Street. A 20-year-old and 23-year-old were on foot crossing the street when they were struck by a vehicle traveling northbound, causing a fatal injury. The other victim conveyed to a local hospital for non-fatal injuries. A 34-year-old driver is in custody. Police also investigating a shooting that occurred at approximately 1 a.m. on that very same block. The union representing aerospace engineers at Boeing reject a request from the company to furlough workers during a strike of 33,000 machinists. Aviation experts estimate the work stoppage is costing Boeing roughly $100 million per day. Madison Metro Transit launches its first ever bus rapid transit route. Rapid Route A will debut today, running east to west from the Sun Prairie Park, Park and Ride to Junction Roads, operating every 30 minutes. And it looks like Malik Willis will start for the Packers at quarterback today. Sean Clifford elevated from the practice squad to the active roster. Quarterback Jordan Love able to practice in limited fashion throughout the course of the week. Head coach Matt LaFleur said they would give him up to game time. Inactives will be released about 10:30. Taking a look at your roads here, WTMJ Johnson & Sons Paving Time Saver Traffic Update. It's not a volume issue, it's more of an issue of weather. Rain coming down, some puddling on the sides of the highway. Just be mindful of that if you're traveling through. Control your speed. Make sure you got the lights on as well. It's still pretty dark out this morning. Normal travel times, normal construction delays. Cost you about 2 minutes if you're going 43 southbound from Brown Deer to downtown. Volume, low. But keep the lights on. Make sure you're cautious driving through the wet weather. Rain hangs out for the bulk of the afternoon here today with a high of 71 degrees. Monday, slight chance of rain with a high of 68. Tuesday, slight chance of showers, otherwise partly cloudy and a high of 68. Right now it's 67 degrees and wet in Milwaukee at 8:35.
In just 2 minutes, we're going to talk the new iPhone right here on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. It's a short show today. I'm Libby Collins on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News, 8:38. Do you have your phone yet? Last week, Apple held its highly anticipated special product launch event. Customers can purchase the iPhone 16 and iPhone 16 Pro lineups, and we are joined by Apple's Will True. You're out there in Apple Park in Cupertino, California. Will, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
I know a lot of consumers are very excited. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the iPhone 16 and what are some of your favorite features?
Absolutely, yes. The iPhone 16 and 16 Plus introduce incredible new camera capabilities, the action button for quick access to useful features, and they debuted the new A18 chip, which is a huge leap in performance and efficiency.
So, Will, what is the difference between the 16 Pro and the 16 Pro Max?
The big difference there is size. So we have some new display sizes, a 6.3-inch on the 16 Pro, and then a 6.9-inch display on the 16 Pro Max. But it's the same features across both this year because we brought that great 5X telephoto to the 16 Pro. So really, the choice is about, you know, what size phone you want.
There were some consumers that were concerned about overheating with the iPhone 15. Is that going to be a problem with the 16?
We have new internal designs that are great for making sure that it can dissipate heat and do all the kind of things it needs to do while making sure you have a great performance. We're really excited to deliver this great, powerful experience to customers.
Okay, can you explain Apple Intelligence?
Yeah, absolutely. So Apple Intelligence is a great new capability, which the iPhone 16 lineup is built for. And so Apple Intelligence harnesses the power of our Apple design generative models, and it draws on your personal context. So it can help you write, it can help you express yourself, it can help you get things done quickly. You know, and this is with features like writing tools, which can rewrite or proofread or summarize your text. You can get quick summaries of your notifications or even summaries of your email. So it's about bringing the right information to you at the right time with the personal context and understanding of what your iPhone is able to do. But again, built with that privacy and security from the ground up.
And you mentioned privacy and security. How does that differ with this particular model as to previous ones?
But what's really unique about Apple Intelligence is it's designed to maintain the privacy as you're making requests or as you're interacting with Siri. It's handling these requests on device wherever possible. And if it does need to access our cloud compute, we have a private cloud compute, which is a system that means that we can maintain that security and privacy of your data, even if the request is going to the server. Even Apple can't understand the context of what you're requesting, so we don't have access to your user data. So it's handled in an intelligent, secure, and encrypted way.
We're talking with Apple's Will True. He's right there in Apple Park in Cupertino, California. You know, it seems, Will, when a consumer becomes an Apple user, they don't want to use another device. Why is that?
Well, we work really hard to make the Apple experience simple, intuitive, easy to use. We work really hard to make sure that our hardware and software is integrated to be able to deliver these great experiences that makes your life better or help you create or stay in touch with loved ones. So it's really about empowering the people that use Apple products to do more. And so we're really excited to be able to take this even further with the new lineup of iPhone 16.
Now, obviously, the 16, one of the big selling points is the AI, the Apple Intelligence. We've come so far just in the last couple of years with AI. What do you think the future is going to be like?
Well, I'm excited to find out, and we're really excited to see what people can do with these new features and these new capabilities. So we're just excited to keep building upon the intelligence that we've had built into the iPhone system for years. You know, we've had the Apple Neural Engine now, I think, for many years, and so this is taking this the next step. We're really excited about this next chapter with Apple Intelligence and can't wait to see what people do with their new iPhone.
And that's Will True from Apple. I'm Libby Collins, and coming up in just a minute, we're going to talk about oh, they're out to get you again, and it's all on PayPal. Oh, wait till you hear this. I know you've been getting a lot of complaints at DatCap, Michelle Reinen, our consumer expert, about fake PayPal invoices. Tell us what we need to know.
Yeah, consumers are describing having received invoices and money requests through PayPal from people they did not recognize about purchases they didn't make. In these scams, the requester sometimes included a note that they hope will pressure you into sending money right away. And in other cases, scammers are sending you an invoice designed to look like a legitimate message from PayPal saying you recently purchased cryptocurrency, telecom services, or some other product. And occasionally, a fake customer service phone number is provided. And if called, you are connected to the scammer.
So what do you need to do? How can you tell if it's legit or not?
Well, we want people to be mindful that this scam is out there. And if you receive suspicious or unexpected invoices or money requests, don't pay. If you suspect it may be legitimate, check your own records. See if you made any purchases that match the description. Never open any links or use any contact information provided as part of these requests. Instead, only use information found on PayPal's official website. That means you need to log in the way you normally would, not clicking those links. Verify whether a questionable message was truly sent by PayPal by contacting the company's help center, also found on the official website.
And if you need more information about whether or not a PayPal request is legitimate, who should you call?
Call DadCap's Consumer Protection Hotline at 1-800-422-7128.
We have Greg Matzik here, and what's going to happen with the Packers today? Is it another win on the for us?
Well, I hope so here. So let's start first with the quarterback situation, because we all want to know, is Jordan Love going to play? He practiced throughout the week. He was limited throughout the week, according to head coach Matt LaFleur, and listed as questionable for today's game on Friday's injury report. Then late last night, I get an email from the Packers saying, we've elevated Sean Clifford from the practice squad to the active roster. That tells me Malik Willis will start at quarterback, because they typically only have two quarterbacks available on game day. The third is remaining on the practice squad, not on the active roster. So the fact that they brought that third quarterback to the active roster tells me that Jordan Love will not play today. And I kind of always felt like it was going to be a long shot. Now, here's the really interesting storyline. Malik Willis was traded to the Packers August 26th, so a little less than a month ago. And the team that gave up on him after drafting him in the third round just a few years ago were the Tennessee Titans, the team the Packers are playing today in Nashville. Another storyline to watch here, weather. It's going to be upwards of 90 degrees in Nashville, hot day. There is some rain in the forecast, potential for some storms as well. So it could be a very interesting day on the field at Nashville at Nissan Stadium.
And we'll have more on Packers game day, or on Green Bay game day, coming up at 9 o'clock here on WTMJ.
Welcome to Sunday Sip. This is Steve Scavini. I am joined today by two really smart guys. We're going to talk about a lot of great things, but one of the things we're going to talk about is Milwaukee College Prep, Al Keith the Fourth joining us, and Celestin Morgan, who is executive director of the City Forward Collective, talking about education and our kids, which I am very passionate about. I'm going to start with you, Celestin. Can you explain what the opportunity gap is? I hear this term a lot, and how it affects students in Milwaukee, particularly in the underserved communities.
Yeah, so when we talk about opportunity gaps, we're talking about the disparities in outcomes for students, in particular students of color, when compared to their peers. And here in Milwaukee, we struggle with one of the largest opportunity gaps of any city in the country. We've got work to do to ensure that all of our kids, but especially our kids who are Black or Hispanic or from lower income backgrounds, have access to the education they need.
So one of the ways you're addressing that is with charter schools in Milwaukee. And I'll start with you, Al.
Yeah.
How do you address that opportunity gap? Give me some like specific examples.
Yeah. And so just speaking of the opportunity gap, we talk about what access and what opportunities are presented to our kids. And so it's very well known the power of literacy. So at Milwaukee College Prep, we focus a lot of dedication, time, energy on literacy, focusing on early literacy for our younger scholars, make sure they're learning how to not only access the content in front of them, but have opportunity to have that upward mobility through society as well.
Celestin, what do you think? The opportunity gap, how do we address that?
So one of the great things about our city's education system is that parents have lots of choices. They've got choices of different types of schools, including public charter schools like Milwaukee College Prep. we think it's really important because we know every child is different and every child needs something different. And so the work that schools like MCP do to ensure that every kid is getting exactly what they need, the skills and supports that they need, is incredibly important.
Clesson Morgan Jr. and Al Keith the Fourth joining us on the Sunday Sip. This was for you, Al. Yeah. How are charter schools supporting those students who may be behind grade level, facing some struggles, facing significant academic challenges? How are you approaching that problem?
Targeted supports. We make sure that we take a look at how do we support not just a grade level or just a classroom, but how do we make sure that we support every single child in that classroom? And so some of that means wrapping around targeted interventions, targeted mentoring, tutoring. And so we really look at the whole child and look at what is it they need to be successful, and we provide that.
Clesson, what do you think? Same question.
You know, I think, again, you know, the work that Al is doing, the work that MCP and other schools across our city are doing is incredibly important, you know, to make sure that every child, we're looking at their individual strengths, their individual assets, and their individual challenges, and making sure they get exactly the targeted supports that they need.
We hear this term a lot, equity, right? Access to education, so important. We got to make sure that we're reaching all the kids, not some of the kids, not the kids who really want to be there, but some of the kids who maybe are struggling. When you're looking at that question of equity, Al, how do the charter schools in Milwaukee ensure that equity is there for enrollment, services for everybody?
Absolutely. And so, you know, the biggest tagline that I can give you right now is free, public, and open to all. Milwaukee College Prep has a completely blind and open enrollment process. It's first come, first serve. We don't screen. We don't test. And many of the high-quality schools in the city, charter schools, follow the same process as well.
Clesson, I love the fact that one of your missions is to improve education in Milwaukee, in the Milwaukee area. So how do you measure that success? You're looking at charter schools, narrowing that opportunity gap. Are there any success stories or things you can point to that say, you know what, that's how it should be done?
Yeah, so, you know, we certainly start by looking at the facts and the data, right? You know, all of our students, whatever school they attend, if they're receiving public dollars, they have to take assessments at the end of the year that help us understand how students are performing. And we see year after year that students that are enrolling in our schools of choice, including our public charter schools like Milwaukee College Prep, are performing at higher and higher levels, closing those opportunity gaps. There's certainly more work to be done, but we try to start with the data and the facts. And we know that when parents have those choices, they're empowered to make those choices. When schools can make the decisions that are best for their kids, that's where we see the biggest growth happening.
What do you hear from parents? What are they saying?
They love it. I get calls, I get emails, I get stopped out in public all the time by parents just can't stop raving about all that we've done for their kids, their families, and how do we expand that outreach, you know, beyond what we're currently serving.
And the polling and the research here matches up with the stories that Al is telling. We know that parents in our city overwhelmingly, I think 60% in a poll we put out this summer, support, actually 60% is the Marquette Law poll, but we find similar numbers as well, support having a robust set of options so that they can find the right fit for their kids, including schools like Milwaukee College Prep.
And as we all know, having that parent support, that parent buy-in, along with the students, along with their children, makes this process a lot easier. So we're looking at all those groups, parents, community leaders, local businesses. What do they do to support the impact of charter schools in bridging that opportunity gap?
So I like to use my development and fundraising chief's term of time, treasure, and talent. So we partner with the community to come in and obviously see what we do, come be a part of what we do. We bring in the community, we bring in local businesses, we bring in families to not only see what we do, but also partner with them to figure out how do we better serve the community, how do we better serve our kids.
Absolutely. I think, you know, seeing, being invested, you know, taking the time to love our kids enough to love the schools and the adults in the building that are serving them is incredibly important, as is making sure that all of our schools have the resources that they need to succeed. And that's something that we in our advocacy work do every day.
And I wanted to save a minute to talk about this because it's not just about talking about it, it's action plans are important. So how can our listeners help Milwaukee College Prep, obviously the director of City Forward Collective, improving education in our community? Al, you go first.
The most immediate step is log onto our website, go to mkeprep.com/support, and check out our Take a Stand event information there. And so every year we have an annual fundraiser that's a lot of fun. It's a really good time to celebrate, obviously, the amazing work that our team at MCP does. But it's a great opportunity to ground our community in the importance of the work and the resources we need.
Likewise, you can find information about City Forward Collective on our website, cityforwardcollective.org. Take a look at some of our policy research. We try to lift up good examples of schools like Milwaukee College Prep. You can find some data and information and ways to support us financially as well there.
Clesson Morgan Jr., Al Keith the Fourth, soon to be a fifth on the way, I hear.
That's right. That's right.
Good luck with all of that. Great conversation, great work, leading hopefully to great educational opportunities for all of the kids out there. Thanks for joining the Sunday Sip.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
It is going to be a rainy day today, even some downpours and thunder and lightning. Our high temperature is only going to get up to 72 degrees. So keep that in mind as you're making your plans today. The Brewers get underway with our coverage at noon today. And coming up next, it's Green Bay Game Day right here on WTMJ. It's 858.